Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we prepare to sit at the table of our Lord next week, the Lord willing, we rejoice to read what we did in verse 2. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That, beloved, is good news to you and me, who are those publicans and sinners of ourselves. Now, of course, the Pharisees, when they said that, did not mean that as good news. They meant that as an accusation against him. In their mind, Jesus had company with sinners. And when he was doing that, they concluded Jesus was tolerating their sin. He was approving their sin. He was polluting himself with their corruption and sin, and so concluded this could never be the Christ. Our Christ would never sit with sinners. Our Christ would sit with us, Pharisees. But in spite of what the Pharisees were thinking in their unbelief and pride and enmity against Christ, we see at the beginning of Luke 15, Jesus, as the great shepherd, doing his work of mercy among his people with his sheep. The shepherd was drawing unto himself his lost sheep. He was drawing them unto himself in repentance from their sin, a turning away from their sin unto the one and only one who could deliver them from the guilt of that sin and give them the grace to continue in the way of his commandments, of not continuing in their sin. And Christ showed very clearly that one can sit with him and eat with him, not on the basis of our works, but we may expect to have a chair prepared for us at his table and meet and drink set at the table for us on the basis of his works, his righteousness, which is ours by faith alone, because of God's mercy alone to you and me. And the third parable of Luke 15 underscores that truth, describes for us the road of repentance. The first two parables which we read also explain the truth of repentance, first of all, from the perspective of Christ, the Lord, the sovereign seeking shepherd who knows his sheep by name and goes after us who were lost in our sin and brings us home from the snares of sin into the fellowship of his truth and his joy and joy with him. The second shows that when Christ does work repentance in us and delivers us from the way of sin through conversion and daily conversion, that the response of that repentance of the child of God is not something which goes unnoticed by the angels in heaven. Jesus said, angels in heaven rejoice over the repentance of even one sinner, one little boy, one little girl of his flock who repents from their sin. Even that, the angels rejoice over. But now our parable in the text this evening, our parable describes the experience of the elect child of God, that converted sheep by the grace of God who goes the way of repentance. That's not the way of the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed that the way to sitting at meat with the King of the Kingdom of Heaven and the Kingdom of God, the road to the door of the palace of the Kingdom of God, and then the path to that chair at the table with the king was paved in their own righteousness, their obedience would earn for them a place with Christ. Their Christ, of course. The Lord teaches, no. The homeward road to the Father is in the way of repentance and is the opposite of what the Pharisees taught. It begins not at a plateau of how great we are and all the great works which we have done, as the Pharisees thought. Lord, look what I have done. That's not where the homeward road to the presence of the Father begins. It begins in the knowledge of sin and how sinful we are. And that road continues to the Father, paved in something divine and wonderful, and ends in a goal, as we see in the parable, of a place of joyful and merciful restoration to God's favor and peace with Him again. Beloved, have you traveled this homeward road? Do you know this road? We need to know this road, beloved. We need to travel this road because this is the road which leads to the Lord's table. And that way of traveling this road, you and I are prepared to sit with Jesus, who will receive us. And as the text, or the context teaches, He will receive sinners and in His mercy sit with us and feed us with His word of life. I'll call your attention then to the text under this theme, the wayward sinners' homeward road. We'll notice first of all that it begins in His miserable waywardness. Secondly, it continues in His sorrow and repentance. And finally, it ends in a merciful and joyful restoration. You children remember this parable, don't you? There was a man who had two sons. And those two sons were raised by the father. They worked with him on the farm. We understand from the parable that the older son was a model child. He never disobeyed his father, which was a good thing. He worked hard from morning till evening, which was a good thing. But there was one problem, serious problem with him. He prided himself in his reputation, in his obedience to his father, in what he said, which was true, that he had never transgressed his father's commandments. He had a lot of pride. The other son, the younger son, was different. He chafed under his father's rules. He frequently transgressed his father's commandments. He was careless in his work, and he longed for the day when he could get off the farm and find his freedom in a city far away and do what he wanted to do and live his life according to his rules. Eventually, the younger son arrived at the age when he could leave his father's house, after which he had coveted for many, many years. And he knew that the father had willed to him an inheritance, and he had, with his careful thinking, calculated exactly when it would work for him to cut loose from his parents, from his father, and be able to strike out on his own. And he did. He comes to his father, tells him, "Father, give to me the share of the inheritance that I must have now." And his father acquiesced to his son's request, even though he knew where his son was headed. He gave to his son his money that he had willed to him. Then the son, of course, with his pockets full of his father's money, found his freedom, went off to that far country, and did what was right in his own eyes. He embraced the deceitfulness of sin, that there would be freedom, happiness, peace, and joy in doing his own thing, being free of the authority of his parents and all the rules of proper living. He thought he could have his fun without any consequence. We read that in that far country he spent his money in riotous living with harlots and prostitutes and drunkenness, living in the depths of gross sin, feeding his soul, he thought, with the pleasures of sin, until finally he hit bottom spiritually and financially, not a cent to his name. And only to his name he had a horrible reputation, great notable sins, and a conscience that was grievously wounded. He had reaped what he had sowed. He sowed wickedness to the fullest, and God, who is righteous, made him to reap the consequences of death, of a guilty conscience, of losing all of his money, great shame. And what he realized later, he gained the fact that he had forfeited every right to be connected to his father. And he understood he was worthy to be destroyed, worthy to be cursed, not just before his father, but by heaven, to whom later he confesses his sin. And there alone with the smelly and the snorting pigs at the pig trough, he saw his great shame. Remember, to the Jew, the pigs were unclean. They were an accursed thing. There in the company of pigs, he saw himself filthy, selfish, unclean, shameful, alone, helpless, nothing, worthless, impoverished sinner. That's where the homeward road for him began. And that applies to us. For Christ is speaking to publicans and sinners who will sit at meat with him and did sit at meat with him. These are the people that know their sin. They know their, in the case of Christ, they were harlots, thieves, murderers. They knew their sin as they sat at meat with Jesus. The Pharisees did not know that. The Pharisees thought, we are righteous. We don't have sin. The road to the Father's presence doesn't begin in the knowledge of sin. It doesn't begin at the pig trough of shame. It begins on the plateau of our grand works of righteousness and obedience to God's commandments. And then that way into the presence of the Father is paved in the wonderful things which we do. Lord teaches in the parable, that's not the homeward road. Let us never think that it's that way, though we're prone to think that way. The Lord teaches, as the great shepherd, the lost sheep are those who of themselves can do no good. We're all sinners. We are all lost in our sin. We have all cast ourselves down that road of the broad way which leads to destruction. Very easily, we know by experience how the deceitfulness of sin is so tempting. The presence of our old man of sin is a daily reality, a constant source of the fact that, yes, we have no righteousness of ourselves. We are those lost sheep. And the Lord teaches us, those sinners in whom the Lord works the work of salvation, teaches us that the way to the presence of the Father, that homeward road, begins in the dark pit of the knowledge of my sin, our sin. That's where it starts. You and I know we have nothing good whatsoever of ourselves attached to our name. We have not a dime of righteousness to our spiritual bank account of ourselves. That starting point is the place where we are embarrassed by our sin and our sinful natures. We see, yes, I am the liar, I am the harlot, I am the murderer, I am the thief, I am the rebel, I am the covetous one. I have rejected the Word of God. I have rejected my parents' instruction in the Word. I am ashamed that I have been so foolish. And it's also the place where we know there's nothing that we can do to bring ourselves back into the presence and the favor of God. There's no money in my pocket to give to God, no works that I can do to earn His favor again. Nothing. I have forfeited every right to be His son or to be His daughter, we confess. The right to be banished from His presence. That's where the homeward road begins. Beloved, although it is not mentioned in the text, we should not miss something very important. There is something else. There is something else at the starting point of that homeward road that you should not miss. Did you see it? It's something that we don't see ourselves when we are at that point where this prodigal son was, because at that point, at the pig trough of shame, there we see our unfaithfulness. There we see our sin. There is a dark cloud that covers us, through which we cannot see the Father's face and His smile. Our conscience is wounded grievously, and that dark cloud covers the face of God. Yet behind that cloud, and that's what's at this point of the homeward road, right at the beginning, there is the Father's mercy and love to you. Did you see it? Did you notice that when the son came home, where was the father? When he greeted his son, what was his father doing? Had the father forgotten his son? Had the father written him off? Had the father forgotten or stopped to pray for his son? When that son came home, he was at the end of the driveway on the farm, and the father ran out to meet him, indicating that the attitude of the father to his son had not changed. In between the son's departure and his return, the father's love to his son had not changed. And that's exactly true of God's love and mercy, sovereign towards you and me. It does not change. That unchangeable love of Christ is so clearly revealed to us at the cross, where our sin appears in all of its horrible ugliness and enmity against God. There at the cross, Christ was keeping and fulfilling all righteousness unto God for us. While we by nature were feeding at the pig trough of sin and shame and guilt, Christ was drinking from the cup of God's wrath for you and me to redeem us from that pig trough and that shame. While we were enemies against Christ, he loved us and died for you and me. While we were dead to sin, Christ died for us to make us alive unto himself and to the Father. While we were filled with guilt, Christ became the guilty one to make you righteous and the most blessed forever. Christ traveled down that accursed road to that far country of being forsaken by God before his face so that you might be brought near to the Father's house forever. The love of God revealed and proven to us at the cross of Calvary. That's what remains, so that though we become unfaithful in our sin, God's love to you in Christ does not change. The reason why, you see, there is a homeward road for you and me back into the presence of the Father through repentance is because of the love of God in Christ Jesus. A love which is unconditional. We do not earn a place at his table. Christ earned it for you. He paid for it in his own blood. And the Father in his mercy, which never changes, which is absolutely sovereign, even over our sin, sees to it by his Spirit and through the preaching of the gospel that we learn that road of salvation, and especially that starting point, which begins in the knowledge of our sin. Yes, though we may go lost, the Father will never let you go. That's where the road home begins, then continues in sorrow and repentance. Having reached the depths of misery and shame, the wayward son began to walk that homeward road. That walk home began in his heart. When we read in verse 17, that he came to himself. That doesn't happen when one is blind to sin. We are caught in the snare of sin. We don't see the foolishness into which we have willfully put ourselves. But by the grace of God, the wayward son came to himself. He came to his spiritual senses. And when he came to his spiritual senses, he acknowledged his sin. "I have sinned," he confesses. "That's my sin. I am the sinner." He owned his sin. He doesn't make long excuses as he's beginning and then continuing to walk home. "Well, I will say this to my father, but I'll explain to him that there are actually a lot of reasons why and excuses I did this and that." No, "I have sinned." End of story. And he acknowledges his father. "I will go to my father. Yes, he is righteous. I rebelled against him and his instruction. I am no more worthy to be called his son. I am unrighteous." And yet he remembered something beautiful about his father. He remembered his father's mercy. "There is mercy with my father. I have seen it. something which his older brother didn't care about. But in that moment of his shame and his great distress, I remember that my father is merciful. I've seen it in how he treated his servants. At the very least, I know he will grant me a place in the house as a slave. And though I cannot sit at his table again, yet at least I can be maybe at the door or outside the house by the window, and I can hear him speaking, and I can still have fellowship with him. At least I will be near to him again. And so he arose and came to his father, verse 20. That, beloved, is a short statement, but that homeward road is often a very long road, which means there are no shortcuts in repentance, no excuses. It's a road that we must walk. Every step, all the way home. We understand that what the son had intended to say to his father as he began his journey, this is something he thought about the entire way, rehearsing his confession. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants, he said and rehearsed. A long road, but beloved, a necessary road of sincere humility, full sorrow, a genuine repentance, a clear understanding of his sin. That's the homeward journey of repentance that Christ works in you and me, and which we pray that God will work in you and me. We pray that God will bring us to our senses and make us to see our sin if we walk in the way of sin, and to see our sinful natures and how dangerous they are. For before the deceitfulness of sin, it's so easy not to realize what's going on, or willfully, in unbelief, to refuse to see what's going on. We know that sin is an offense against the Most High God. We know that lying is cursed by God. We know that cheating is not allowed. Yet we fall into temptation. We do the foolishness of sin. We don't view it in hatred, sorrow, or disgust. We view sin as a happy friend. This will help me have joy and happiness, fun, and so on. I can get along with sin for a while. I don't need to listen to the Bible all the time. Our prayer is that the Father will bring us know our sin, to bring us down that road of genuine sorrow so that we know what we have done. Father, Jesus prayed on the cross as he was nailed to the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them for the sake of my death, which I am dying, and forgive them, forgive you and me in such a way that we know what we have done wrong and we understand how much we need the sacrifice of Christ to blot out that sin and our sinful natures. The fulfillment of that prayer of Jesus Christ from the cross of Calvary, God works in you and me by his Spirit, where we come to the sharp senses of our faith and we see our sin in the light of God's Word, in the light of his righteousness, in the light of his holiness. We see it as an offense against the Most High Majesty of God, and we confess that as that wayward son did. I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned before my Father. I have offended him. I need to be reconciled to him. So we need to make confession of our sin. That's the homeward road. Have you experienced that road, beloved? Have you experienced the answer of God to the prayer of Jesus Christ on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them so that they do know what they have done, because of which I am dying for them. In answer to that prayer, the Lord, by the Spirit, makes us sorrowful for sin. We leave the pig trough of shame and misery, and we come in humility and sorrow in the confession, I am the sinner. God is righteous. I am unrighteous. But we also acknowledge that there is mercy with the Father. We remember, yes, the Father is righteous. So we receive the consequences of our sin and humility, but there's also mercy with him. He will not beat me down when I come to him in prayer, confessing my sins. He will not crush me with his anger, full of wrath, under the load of my sin with this wounded, guilty conscience in which I will confess my sin to him. No! Father, we remember, is merciful, full of compassion and tender mercy. You see, the homeward road is, yes, a road of sorrow for sin and repentance and confession, but also a road in which we know leads to the Father, heads towards the knowledge of the forgiveness of our sin. Is that an easy road for you to walk, beloved? It isn't, is it? It's impossible, really. You and I need to confess on this road all my righteousnesses, filthy rags, nothing. I am nothing. I am by nature like these sinners that meet with Jesus. I'm a harlot. A liar, a thief, a murderer, and so on. I have no righteousness to my name, nothing. And yet we cling to the mercy of the Father because that's our only hope on this homeward road. And the Lord does, as he promised, show his mercy to us. That was evident in the parable when the wayward son came home. He came to the blessed end of that homeward road. The son did not need to yell out, Father, I'm home. Did not need to do that. The father was looking for him and saw him. Even before the son could see the father saw him and ran out to meet him. In love and compassion, he embraced his son. He listened, because he was righteous, to his son's confession. And immediately he received that confession with great joy, commanded his servants to get busy, to make a feast, to give him clothes to wear and shoes on his feet. That's important. And prepared for him a great feast and rejoiced to know that though his son had been lost and, as far as he was concerned, good as dead, yet now he was home and found again in a way of humility and obedience, repentance. What a contrast, beloved, to the elder son. The elder son, we read, was angry. Verse 28, and he was angry. Yes, when his son came home, or his brother came home. He showed no mercy to his brother. Instead, he listed, he kept good accounts, And concerning his brother, kept an account. My brother that you are making a feast for is one who spent all the money of the inheritance on prostitution and drunkenness and rioting. And now to his father he said, you are making a feast for him? He's not worthy. What are you doing? And yes, from a certain point of view, the son was correct. It's true. There is that long list. That was his reputation. No, he does not deserve a feast. He never will. But that's the glory, beloved, of that father's love, which the elder son did not see. That's the miracle of the situation. Let us not be as the elder brother, beloved, thinking that our place at the Lord's table is something that is based on us, how good we are. No, don't look at yourselves. Don't miss. Don't fail to see the miracle of the Father's love to you and me. That great miracle to those who were dead and lost, now are found. They're brought home down that homeward road again, alive in true faith, true confession, true sorrow over sin, true repentance, walking that road of daily conversion. And drawn down that road by the grace of God alone. How great, beloved, is that wonder of God to you and me, to bring us down this homeward road. God is merciful. In a mercy, yes, which is sovereign, a mercy which is righteous, a mercy which sometimes requires God to bring us down that road and to travel that road, as long and difficult sometimes as it may be, and to endure bitter consequences because of our sin, as was true in the case of David, or in the case of Peter, or other of God's saints in the Scriptures. We need to be led down that homeward road to learn the misery of sin, but also to learn God's mercy, his compassion to sinners. To learn that that homeward road is paved in the blood of Jesus Christ, not in my works, not in my acts of faith or good works, no, in the blood of Jesus Christ, in the righteousness of Christ alone. And I am drawn down that way by the grace and Spirit of Jesus Christ. And at the end of that road, there is mercy, a glorious reception of God in mercy, in his favor again, in which he works peace in your heart. That's the wonder of his mercy. When we come to full repentance and God speaks to you in the gospel forgiveness, he restores your souls. And even though we have forfeited countless times every right to be a son or a daughter of the Father, nevertheless, he brings us down that homeward road into that prepared place for us, which is not to be a doorkeeper in his house. No, remember the Father gave his son shoes. What did that mean? Why does the Spirit put that in there? Because that separated the young brother, the young son, from the servants. The servants did not wear shoes, but the son could wear shoes. The father would not let his son be a slave in his house. You are my son. My relationship to you has not changed because of my love. You are my son. Here is your place, right at my table. And that's where you sit with Jesus in the Father's house, to eat and drink that heavenly meat and drink, Jesus Christ. And then at the end of that homeward road, there is much rejoicing with the angels. As Christ declares concerning you, lo, You were dead, lost, but behold, now you are found, alive again. Now you may hear the word of Christ. Come, sit with me at my table and eat of the bounties of my mercy. Amen.